Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Scott, you amaze me. You are able to say this pretty consistently without a hitch, never needing to say it again. You're just such a natural for radio.
Well, I've practiced it 200 times, so I would hope I would have it down by now.
Truly. I guess that's a good point to make. You know, stuff we do a lot or frequently, we can do even without thinking. We can just do it, right?
That's right. And I think one of the important lessons of that is the fact that it does often take time to create new habits. And I actually don't know if I've ever told you this, but there was an interesting, experiment done by NASA. And they were, what they did was they took these astronauts who, well, wannabe astronauts, right? And they turned them upside down. And they hung them upside down. They had to eat upside down. They slept upside down. They sat upside down. I don't think they could walk. But, you know, so basically they hung them upside down. And a very, very peculiar thing happened after 28 days. And that was that, because, of course, when you hang upside down, everything you see looks upside down to us, right?
Yes.
And their eyes, well, it was actually more their brain perception, flipped so that even though they were hanging upside down, everything then looked right side up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
Yeah, full reset.
Full reset.
Yeah, it's sort of... Well, we have monitors like that now, right? Like you, I mean, it's a standard feature. You have a gyroscope in your, what's that phone called? iPhone or something
iPhone,
like that?
That's right. And depending
or
on how
iPad,
you,
I mean...
Yep. And depending on how you hold it, it changes the view. Well, that's what happened. So then they said, okay, 28 days, this happened. It happened to everybody. So then they did a second experiment. And at 14 days, they took them down, turned them right side up. And then on the 15th day, put them back up. And at the 28-day mark, it didn't reset. So what they learned was it had to be 28 days straight with no going back to the old way. And, of course, a lot of people will say, if you want to change a habit or create a new habit, then you do it for 28 days. And, of course, I've always said I can do it for 28 days, just not 28 days altogether, right? Like
right.
A couple days
yes.
this month,
yes.
a couple days that month. And I just thought it was very interesting how in this experiment, I would assume that it, you know, it would probably apply to other things as well, where if you do it over and over and over again consistently for a period of time, it becomes the new, like you said, default. And I think that's one of the important lessons when people are looking at their health. It's so, you know, okay, I went for a walk for 4 days, so I should be good this, you know, this month. Whereas no, it's like going for a walk every day, and doing it really consistently. So the good news is if you are determined and you can do something for, you know, a month, chances are you'll have created a good. You'll have created a habit that will then continue. Whereas if you just do it half-heartedly for the month, you're going to fall back to your old ways.
Yeah, this in fact is a really interesting point you're making, because studies done about people who are addicted to carbohydrates, you know, their body burns carbs for calories.
Yeah.
And you actually have described this issue. You know, as your own experience, is that if your body is used to burning carbs for calories, no matter what, you will have these afternoon or evening cravings.
Yes.
They arrive, you're looking for some quick burn, fast calories. And this is, of course, the candida, the fungus in the body is calling for its food. And it's, you know, the physiological reasons for it are whatever they are. The point is, that if you indeed switch your diet such that you have very, very low intake of carbohydrates, and by that I mean the equivalent of one slice of bread per day. That's the max you could take in carbs.
Okay.
If you get on that sort of diet, if you get on that sort of diet, if you last over 20, these guys have done it in 21 days. They say by day 22, you don't go back. The physiology flips, and you're done. You're now burning fat for calories, and you will never have to worry about it. You will have to forcefully have to start over with this carb addiction, but you will never be craving it.
Okay, so, so my question is, okay, bread, got that one. Can you name off a few more? Because I'm thinking Coca-Cola or soft drinks, chocolate bars, but those are maybe
Okay.
simple carbs, so yeah, they should be out anyway. But I'm just
Yes.
thinking, what would be other
Yes.
ones that I might not think of as carbs that
Okay.
would also apply? Potatoes?
Okay, so if you visualize a slice of bread, you
Yeah.
can see it about the size of your hand.
Yep.
You know, the palm and fingers. I mean, it's perhaps about that size, about that thickness. So close it into a fist that makes about a one potato, big one. It makes about a small bowl of rice, maybe a cup. It makes about, you know, that's the equivalent. And you know, all of these things that are glycemic index 50 and above are going to be of that sort.
So
So
potatoes, rice, bread.
pasta, of
Oh
course.
yeah, pasta, right. See, I knew there were some, because one of the things that I always remember was the store manager of the store that I worked at when I was young was diabetic. He was
Yes.
diagnosed diabetic while, I knew him before he was diagnosed. I knew him after he was diagnosed. So he says, "Okay, I'm diabetic. I have to change my diet." So he starts changing his diet, and this is 30 years ago, right? And he got worse and
Yes.
worse and worse. So finally, he goes back to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Well, you've been eating oranges. I mean, there's so much sugar in oranges that that's just, making it worse." And he goes, "Well, thanks for telling me, before, right? Because I was trying to
Yes.
ask you, like, what could I eat and everything, and I thought, oh, it's fruit, it's natural, it'll help." And of course, it wasn't helping, right? So that's why I wanted to
Right.
bring this up, because, people will say, oh yeah, just the equivalent of one slice of bread in carbs, and then it's like, okay, so I have one slice of bread, and I cook dinner, and I have mashed potatoes, and then I have a rice bowl for lunch, and of course now what I had is I had three of those, three times what you said, but not knowing that I was having three times, right? So
Yes.
I think that's why I wanted to kind of get really clear in my head, because I was
Yeah.
thinking, oh, I'm having two slices of bread. Okay, I'll go to one. But what actually
Yeah,
made the
but you cannot follow it by one slice of pizza and a well, dinner stir fry with a bowl of rice, right?
right. And
Yeah.
so a few podcasts ago, I was telling you about my experiences with my colon hydrotherapist cleaning out the colon, right? And washing it down,
Yes.
power washing it down. And what she
Yes.
said was, wow, lots of candida. And of course, we flushed a lot of the candida out, right?
Yes.
And
Oh, yeah.
since then, I've been eating very, well, it's been actually two slices of bread, but I'm going to cut that down to one. And actually, probably very, very little carbs in addition to that. And I've had very little cravings for it. So I suspect that my candida actually is a bit lower than it used to be. And
Yes.
as you were talking, I was thinking, oh yeah, that's right, because I used to have those cravings at 8 o'clock, and having taken the Exela, every day,
Yeah.
going to hot yoga, and just all those sort of things have really helped, and I don't really
Yes.
feel that craving anymore. And I thought, okay. And my son has started, cooking in a very healthy way. So it's kind of some
Yes.
protein and some vegetables like broccoli and beans and asparagus and a little bit of rice that goes with that. So it's been way down in terms of carbohydrates compared to the way that it was before, and it's been about 3 weeks, so I'm getting close to the 4 week point
Reset.
and reset, and it's actually it's kind of has felt reset already, but I know that it's there's a difference between being reset and just, okay, we're doing it, right? Because I've often, I've experienced, as I'm sure everybody has many times, okay, I'm on my way, I'm doing it, and then all of a sudden, like, I haven't done it for 6 months,
Crash.
what's going on, right?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? We talked about biorhythms some time ago. It's a long ago now. But anyway, there are these different cycles. The physical cycle runs on 21 days, emotional runs on 28, and intellectual runs on 33. So maybe these reset points have something to do with these cycles, you know?
Oh, sure, of
So
course they would.
maybe the physical body reset indeed is the 21-day, the full, maybe the thinking patterns has 33 days to reset, and maybe the emotional, which really means the subconscious, the part of the brain that requires no, that's outside of your volitional control, would reset in 28. So, because that's the period for the biorhythms, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was coincidental. And then there's this other thought that comes up for me as you're talking, is the metabolic type. I would love to have the research grant to do this, to find out which body types or blood types or metabolic types are the ones that are diabetic and what will help them. We talked about earlier is that body alkalized by fats and proteins, the other one's alkalized by fruits and veggies. And I would sort of speculate that the people that end up diabetic are the ones that are supposed to be eating mainly protein and fat diet and end up instead on this carb diet. And because of the, what shall I call it, political interference in our food, political, corporate, governmental, like the American government heavily supports the production of staple foods that can be easily stored, which is wheat, corn, and soy. Those three are subsidized in huge ways. Corporate farming is produced in big quantities, and they're trying to now make other uses of it. For instance, they're taking corn and turning it into ethanol to burn in cars, which, I mean, it's ridiculous beyond ridiculous. Why would you want to spend more calories creating something just so you can call it ecological? Or the soy, which is now turned into these milk equivalents, soy milk, which has its deadly side effects of these phytoestrogenic problems for both men and women, or the HFCS, high fructose corn syrup, which is this enzyme chemically produced sugar or sweetener, I should call it. That's you no longer get 9 teaspoons of sucrose in your soy. Now, the equivalent of sweetness in high fructose corn syrup, which is even deadlier to your body because your metabolic system is set up to deal with sucrose. It's totally not set up to deal with this artificially produced glucose fructose combination.
So all of a sudden
So.
I mean, we've actually gone beyond what we were just talking about, which is kind of interesting in terms of, cutting down the carbs, to, cutting down also all the unnatural things that we consume, right?
So let me tie it back together so you understand why we actually talked about it, which is this. When you have excess calories in your body, it creates inflammation. the insulin that your body has to produce, you know, these calories, is there not because it's not the insulin's job to lower the sugar, blood sugar levels. Its job is to store energy. You know, when we used to go through the cycles of feast and famine, when there was abundant energy in the body, the insulin is supposed to grab it and store it. And the storage system is called fat. So
right.
That's what your insulin is doing. So if you have high blood sugar, insulin shows up and pulls the blood sugar level down, but it doesn't pull it down because you have a high sugar level. It does it because it says, oh, excess energy, we can store this for future need. So
right.
It's actually making you fat, making you fat. That's why a lot of diabetics are fat, or a lot of fat people are diabetic. It sort of goes hand in hand.
Right. So when we get the excess calories, that creates more inflammation. When our body is inflamed, it creates more insulin. The insulin,
right.
although it's not, I assume the insulin helps drop the inflammation down.
No, no,
but
no, it drops
doesn't.
The sugar. It drops the sugar.
And because it drops the sugar, the sugar drop creates less inflammation.
Well, okay, yes. But the backside of that is because of the inflammation, now
the
side
effect,
cholesterol levels.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so because, okay, so let me just see if I've got this straight. The excess calories, when we eat and consume excess calories, particularly excess calories that have no value, right? Like
no nutrition.
Stuff, it creates inflammation. When the body gets inflamed, it makes more insulin. It makes more insulin because we've got the excess calories and...
No, I need to stop you there. No, you get a little confused. The insulin is the cause or the source of the inflammation. That's what gives you the inflammation.
Oh,
in the process, just visualize this. Too much fuel in the mix. We need to remove the fuel, and the method of removing it is burning. So what's burning do? Damage, right? I mean, you're burning your hallways.
Okay.
The hallways are the circulatory system of your body. So now that we have this damage in there, we need to go and start fixing that. And the quick fix method is cholesterol. So your body is producing the cholesterol in reaction to the high level of insulin, which is like the flame that burns it off, which is there because of the high levels of calories that you have ingested without thinking.
Okay, so that's the part I was missing. The body creates more cholesterol to repair the damage because we've got too much fuel burning, which causes the inflammation. And then, of course, we get high cholesterol, which brings us back to what we were talking about last week, which was high blood pressure, hardening of the arteries, heart attacks, and all those sort of good things.
Right. So it starts with, what is then the cause of all of the circulatory health problem? It's the diet. It's the inappropriate diet. It's the calorie-rich diet of people who have just more access to food than they are designed for.
Yeah, and access to food that's not restoring vitality to them.
yes, that's right. And this is the dead calories that are easily stored.
Right.
You know, like the grains, again, are a fantastic source or store of energy. But when you use it all the time, it becomes your enemy.
Right. Too much. Well, and when you think about it, if I was, out on the bald prairies and had my little farm and I had my cow and my goat and a couple chickens, and, you know, I would, you know, I'd have a little garden and in there would be potatoes and there'd be carrots and there'd be beets and there'd probably be a little bit of corn off to the side and a little bit of wheat and
right well
and
the,
then
the,
I would
the main
store
point
it, store it for the
yeah.
for the winter, right, so that I got through
yes.
the winter.
The main point of that is relevant is that these diets were created by people who worked physically. You know, a farmer who is cutting the wheat field with a scythe or perhaps even sickle in the hand, who is binding it into these sheaves of whatever and stacking them up and throwing them with a pitchfork on the back of a wagon, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
These are people who are putting out 5 and 6,000 calories a day in a typical day. There's no problem putting in 5 or 6,000 calories into the body because you burn it off.
Right. There's the burning that we want. That's the type of burning that we want to have happen. Not
Well,
the
it's
type of
not.
burning that comes from sugar in your
Insulin.
system
Yeah.
and insulin that you're just sort of sitting around doing nothing and getting, right?
Right. Because if you are using up that energy in muscles, creating, you know, if you're doing it in a normal aerobic exercise style, you're creating carbon dioxide as the output, and you're fine. If you're overdoing it, you're creating lactic acid, and now you're burning things down. But if you're just sitting down with all of these calories, the only reaction that the body has now to say, okay, excess energy, store it.
Right. And the chances are, if you, I know how I feel when I have excess lactic acid. I'm stopping, right? You know, we just are, oh, I can hardly move. And so, of course,
Right.
then you're not, exercising too much for a while. It's kind of a
Right.
natural, balance on that thing, right?
Right. Okay, so let's get to this other side of it. So number one, we need to eat fewer empty calories. It's the only way we can prevent cholesterol from forming. That's it. Now,
Yeah.
if it already exists in the system because we have been undereducated, we have done stupid things, we ate more calories than we should have, then what we have to do is get on scrubbing it out of the body. Now, one of the systems that you can indeed remove a lot of these cholesterol deposits is with fiber.
Right. Oat bran fiber was huge a few decades ago.
Right. Well, it's oat bran, rice bran, you know, whatever. I mean, rice bran is excellent. We use a lot of the rice bran in the manufacture of the superfoods we make. And it's a fantastic product that you can be adding to your nutritional picture, you know.
Right.
It's great. Oat bran also, very good. Now, it shouldn't be toasted oats in mixed with sugar and milk with a dollop of brown sugar on top. I was just describing a bowl of breakfast cereal, like Cheerios, right?
Right.
That's not the way. You know, like how about a bowl of slow cook oats? You know, steel cut oats or something like that. That's what you need.
So again, getting away from the quick fix of when you go down the cereal aisle, there's all this stuff that gets created, and of course they say, "Oh, well, we put lots of rice bran and oat bran in here, and it's heart healthy."
Heart.
And then of course, but there's like a pound of sugar in there and a pound of other stuff that you just isn't going to be very helpful, right?
Right. That's the problem. Anything that has the words ready or instant or quick or, you know, those sort of adjectives, how do you pronounce that correctly? Those kind of words should be alarms, not attractions. And yet, you know, that's we have been made to think that fast is good and quick is good and instant is even better.
Right.
Bad words.
The McDonald's culture that we live in.
Right, I would call it the fast food or instant gratification culture, or I don't have time for this culture. Well, I tell you, if you don't have time for decent nutrition, prepare yourself for a lot of time in a wheelchair later. Or else, if you're lucky, you're gonna just die of a massive heart attack at 45. Poof.
Well, quite a few people, when they have a heart attack, they just have one, right? And that's
Well,
it.
this is the craziest thing, Scott, with heart disease. Oftentimes, the first indication of a problem is a huge heart attack.
Yeah, and kind of like the last one.
Yeah. Think John Ritter, or what was that famous TV political figure? That's not coming to me now. But anyway, many fi famous people have checked out at the prime of their life through a heart event that nobody could have foreseen that. Oh
Right.
well, yes you could have.
Yeah, just watch what
Yeah,
they eat.
well, I was thinking, the name came to me, Tim Russert. I don't know if you remember him.
No, I don't.
He was one of the I think it was NBC commentators. Very, very much loved and liked man. He was, a really good guy. And he was on, guess what? He was on a statin. I think his was Lipitor. But anyway, he was in care of a doctor. He was lowering his cholesterol through the drugs. And he was a bit overweight, pudgy looking fellow. And anyway, boom, single event. There's no saving the guy. He just, the heart event put him out of business.
Wow.
And here's the sad thing. Here's the guy who could afford the best care, period.
Yeah,
You know,
that's
this,
right.
I mean, he, this guy was paid millions. And he could have had the best advice. He could have had the, well, anyway, top class care. And I imagine he did have it too. So what's it tell you? The best of allopathic medicine that money can buy cannot deal with something like this. Why?
Right.
Because their perspective, because their worldview is completely wrong. It's ignorant of causes and consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
There
what
you
do we
go.
do? Okay, yeah. So what do we
We take
do?
Bran.
Okay.
We take Bran.
Yeah.
And we don't take the
And
instant one or the quick one.
that's right. And we also emulsify fats. There's this lovely simple thing called lecithin, which is the universal emulsifier. Emulsification means this: in order to move something that is fat soluble in a water transport system, you first must emulsify it. A typical emulsifier that you'd be familiar with is dish soap. In order
Yes.
to get the
Yeah.
fat off of the baking pan or something like that, you use the dish soap and you watch the action. As soon as you add the soap in there, it connects with the fat, connects the fat to water, and the water transports it away. That's what goes on in your body. Things that are fat soluble can only be transported by emulsification. If you don't have an emulsifier, it just stays stuck. So if you want to deal with cholesterol and your transport system is water-based, both your blood and your lymph are water-based colloids, you must have the emulsifier. So there it is.
There it
That's
is, end of that story. So where do we get
So
it?
when, well, it's part of oils, it's in eggs, it's in all seeds. It can be separated out of just about any. We have been selling lecithin that's from soy, and don't panic on me about the word soy, because it's not the whole soy. It's separated from the soy oil, and it's the solids that are separated from that. So it does not carry any of that bad stuff that you can associate with soy. And there's plenty of it. That phytoestrogenic effect we talked about that can turn men into women. that's not coming along for the ride with the lecithin. Anyway, there it is. We have been. There are all kinds of lecithin, oiled and de-oiled, and you definitely would be better off with de-oiled lecithin. And they are capsulated or not capsulated. When you capsulate the lecithin, you can get away with capsulating some really old crap because the capsule will cover it up. So even though you're getting quote unquote lecithin, you're not getting a decent quality product. So the stuff that we sell, I promise you, is a good quality thing.
The best.
The best, yes.
Wonderful.
Lecithin has some other wonderful qualities because your brain is mainly made from fat. It's the building block, one of the building blocks that is used in creation of the brain tissue and also on the covering of the nerves, the myelin sheath, that's also fat stuff. So having plenty of lecithin on board improves many, many things. The transport, yes, but also the structure of the entire nervous system. So there are many, many advantages to supplementing with this.
Cool. So Martin, if somebody wanted to know where they could go to get some lecithin, what could they do?
Well, as always, www.life-enthusiast.com. There's a handy dandy search box right at the top of the webpage. So type the word you're interested in, whether it's blood pressure or lecithin or whatever you want to research, type it there. Or call if you're just stuck. 1-866-543-3388. We do answer the phone and we give you guidance.
Wonderful. All
So
right.
thank you again.
Yes, thanks for joining us, everybody. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio network. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and he's Martin Patella, the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op. And we look forward to hearing your comments. Make sure you head over to the Life Enthusiast Co-op website. There's lots of great information there, including lots of articles on lecithin and lowering blood pressure and all those good things. And one of the things that we often say is, educate yourself and learn about this stuff and look after yourself. And we're there to help you and support you in any way that we can.
All right, so this is Life Enthusiasts, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.